We hope you'll come back and join us again. Please remember that the Giving Tree gifts are due next Sunday. So I don't know, are there still tags on the tree? A few. So those are out there. Also, don't forget that we have our midweek Advent worships starting this Wednesday. Come and join us, and that will be begun by a meal at 6. So there's a meal at 6. The worship service is at 7. We invite you to come and be here as we observe Advent together. Also, please remember that later today, we have our community Advent class. The community pastors last year got together and taught this class for folks to join together and learn a little bit more about Advent and through Advent. And we're doing that again starting today. He's a great teacher today, just absolutely fantastic teacher. That's at 4:30 across the street at Seven Oaks is where we'll meet. I am teaching, and so we will be over there at 4:30. I did get word yesterday that Martha Allison is moving from National Healthcare back to Laurel Crest on Tuesday, but be aware she is moving into the nursing center area at Laurel Crest and not going back to independent living. So please continue to keep her in your thoughts and prayers as well. Amanda, you're up.
I am up, and I have a walker today, so I can come.
All right.
So I have a few announcements. The youth and the family ministry team, we were going to do a parents' afternoon out this afternoon, but we had no RSVPs. So we're going to try that again later in February. So just kind of look for that information, and we're excited to watch the little kiddos, you know, parents can have some time for themselves for a little bit. If you're going to serve, please be sure to read all the private guidance. There's a lot of information in there, but some things that I want to highlight are Campfire and Carols. We're going to try something new, and on the 22nd at 6:30, we're going to have some portable campfire bits out front, and some of our musicians are going to be singing carols and inviting everybody to sing with them, and we're going to make s'mores. And we invite the whole community to join us for that. This is something that we want you to invite your friends to. It's singing and s'mores and campfires, and we didn't love that. Also, if there are any 8th and 12th graders that are interested in Camp Life this coming weekend, please register. My kiddos remind me to register. I haven't done that yet. And also, the 4th and 5th graders, December 15th, we are going to make some cookies, and we're going to take them over to the Brown Center. So, 4th and 5th graders, please join us for that. I think that's all I know.
A 31-year-old kiddo. Can I bring him to you to watch sometime?
Sure. We might bring leaves or something instead.
Yeah, well, good luck. All right. Back last spring, I did a program for the Leisure Timers on all our banners, and they strongly suggested... stomped their feet, that I do that for the whole congregation. And the program lasts about 45 minutes, so we're going to do that today. No. It seemed to me the time to start that would be Advent, when we, the beginning of the new church year, as we do each banner, then as it comes around throughout the year, the first Sunday of the season, I would be able to tell you a little bit about that banner, and then we'd go on. So this won't take but a couple of minutes. As you can see, we have our Advent banner up here. This is an easy one, actually, for us to begin with. What color is it? Blue. Notice the same color as our pyramids. Blue is traditionally the color both of royalty and of hope. Royalty because Jesus is our king, and hope because that's what we do. It is also traditionally the color of somebody else in this season. You typically see Mary wearing blue in artistic renditions of the Nativity. Of course, on this banner, you have an angel blowing a trumpet. Angels, really, the word angel means messenger. They're a messenger. They're sent from God to do something or communicate something. And a trumpet being blown were used to announce things. If you're in battle, they would announce things like charge or worship. Or in our world, when it's time for church, many churches ring bells. In those days, the trumpet was used to invite people to worship as well. Anytime there was a significant event, they would blow that trumpet to announce things. So we have an angel blowing a trumpet, Gabriel, in other words, announcing the birth of the Messiah. So it's time to get prepared. There you go. So now that we're prepared, we will prepare ourselves for worship. Please rise. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You call all nations to walk in your light and to seek your ways of justice and peace. For the night is past and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us as we light the first candle on this wreath. Rouse us from sleep, that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes and welcome him into our hearts and homes, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever. Hear us, O Shepherd, as we cry to you.
Restore us, O God.
You who lead Joseph like a flock.
Restore us, O God.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim.
Restore us, O God.
Shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh.
Restore us, O God.
Stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God.
Restore us, O God. Let us wait patiently for the Lord. Let us take courage in the face of all darkness. Let us follow wherever God leads. Let us receive the Lord anew.
God's salvation is surely come.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Seated with the children, please come forward. Good morning, everybody. Wait till you see what I have today. This, but you don't even know what to call this, do you?
A trumpet.
A trumpet, that's so close. That is really close. This is actually called a shofar, okay? And this is what they used to use in Israel for lots of different things, but you blow it just like a trumpet. You want to hear it? All right, I'm going to tell you, I'm not very good at this, okay? But I'll see what I can do, okay? There you go. I played trombone in high school. Yeah, there you go, yeah. That's what this sounds like, and you would use it. They didn't have trumpets or trombones like we have now. No, I have to hold this one. And so they didn't have those back then. So they used this. This was actually a sheep's horn. This grew out of a sheep's head, and there was another one on the other side. And they cleaned it all out and they cut off the ends, like Mr. Mike says, and they used it as their trumpets. And they used trumpets for several things. As I said just a few minutes ago, as we were talking about the banner up here, they used trumpets to announce things. They, like, announcing that Jesus was going to come, or if they were in battle. But they used to blow the shofar on two very important occasions. Okay? That's right. You know, you are right on. He said, since I'm wearing blue, that's why I have this. And that's exactly right, because the first significant event that they used to blow a shofar for was called...
Sheep horn,
yeah. It was called Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Jewish New Year. They would blow this on the Jewish New Year. And today, Artie, the very first Sunday of Advent, the reason I'm wearing blue is because... today is the first Sunday of our new church year. So it's New Year's Day for us.
No!
You have rams on your shirt. Good.
It's Chapel Hill, and it's super far from where
it is super far from here. So they did. They blew it on the first day of the new year, and that's today for us. So I blew the shofar to announce Happy New Year's Day. How about
Christmas.
That? But there's another time they would blow it that I think is really important for us to remember.
Guess which holiday I like?
Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah.
I like the snow.
So they would blow the shofar to call people to worship. And what's kind of neat is, if you listen in our psalm today, it says something like, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, how did you know when it was time to go to the house of the Lord? They blew the shofar. That's what they did. Yeah. So that's what I wanted you to know today, is that we're listening for the sound of the trumpet or the sound of the shofar to let us know it's a new church year, but also that we're glad to be able to come here to God's house. Yes, sir?
I smelled it.
You smelled it? You know, I've never done that. I might try it when I get home.
When you get home?
Yeah, when I get home later.
When?
After church.
Yeah, after church.
After church.
After lunch.
After lunch, probably. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you got to have your priorities. So, all right, so that's what I wanted you to remember today. It's a new church year, but we're always glad anytime we get to come to God's house. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us into your house. Help us to worship you in all we do and say. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Is there a bakery here?
Nope.
Maybe over there.
Nope, it's not.
What is it?
That goes outside.
A reading from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from Romans. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Situated here. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing of the flood until it came and swept them away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Happy New Year. In the church calendar today, we start a brand new year. It's fresh with anticipation. It's a new beginning. So why in the gospel text for today are we focusing on the end? And not just the end, but the end. This is a unique time in the life of the church. Society has us already focused on Christmas. The church calendar has us focusing on Advent and the waiting and preparation to celebrate the birth of Jesus. However, our gospel for today has us focused on the second advent, the waiting and preparations for the second coming of Christ. This piece of scripture can cause us some bit of anxiety. It talks about Noah and the flood. We hear of two people working side by side, and then one is taken and one is left. A man is having to be vigilant against burglary. This is all the makings of a blockbuster sci-fi thriller drama in the theaters, right? And it's hard reading this text and not knowing what exactly it means. I don't know exactly what all of it means. And that might make this text a bit risky. Many people turn it into an opportunity to dismiss faith or to capitalize on speculation or even fear. But we can look closer and I think that we can find something else. There is a recurring theme in this passage about not knowing. It's actually mentioned 5 times in our reading. And we don't know about the future. We don't know when Christ will come again. However, we're reminded that this isn't our timetable, it's God's timetable. Is it worth our time trying to know what can't be known? In the same scripture, where so much is unknown, there is still certainty. The gospel writer makes sure that we are reminded that the Son of Man is coming. And that creates an intriguing dynamic. Because the Son of Man has already come. Jesus was born, he grew up, he taught, he was crucified, and then he rose again. The kingdom of God has come into creation. The Holy Spirit runs wild through our world. And yet, the kingdom of God has not come into its full realization. We straddle this already, but not yet scenario. Christ has already come, but Christ has not yet come again. We're living in a time where we can dimly see the kingdom of God, and yet we have no idea of the wonderfulness of its full glory. It's a beautiful but difficult place to live in, the already but the not yet. Because we like to know the timing of things, don't we? We like to know that things are completed and in order, or at least when they'll be in order. We crave that feeling so much that we create technology to help us keep things in order and predictable. The other day, I was here at church, and I needed to order some lunch. By the way, Panera delivers. I could order my food online, and when it was ready, they would text me that the driver was on their way. And not only that, but there was this tracker on a map on my phone, so I knew exactly where my lunch was and could watch from my phone as they deliver and pull into the Redeemer parking lot. And I know that Matthew had my lunch. We have to face it. We live in a culture that doesn't like leaving things to chance, even our lunch. Nor do we like having to wait either. In many ways, we really like the already part of living in the already, but not yet. It's hard to wait for other things in life, too. Big days like birthdays, weddings, or the arrival of a baby. But it's even harder to wait for those pieces of life that bring us more difficult anxiety. Semester grades, hard conversations, or the latest test results from the doctor. In those not yet times, we crave the already. We long for the fullness of God's kingdom that is yet to come. When we look around the world, we see poverty, we see violence, sickness, and despair. It's hard to keep from wondering why the not yet, the second coming of Christ, hasn't come into reality. Why do we still have to wait? But in that waiting, there is good news. While the gospel for today talks significantly about uncertainty, there is also a promise. 3 times we hear, the Son of Man is coming. And that is a message of hope. Jesus, our Savior, is coming already and not yet. So in the midst of this uncertainty of this passage, we have this message of hope. Now what do we do with it? In the gospel, the people were doing their daily work, not sitting idly by. The watchfulness and the waiting described in the book of Matthew was not filled with speculation or doom, but it was filled with people living their lives in hope and readiness, living into the not yet. And the Son of Man had already come. The gospel as a whole reflects what we already know about who Jesus is and the redemption he brings. In fact, the gospel of Matthew is framed with the most beautiful reminders. Early in the book of Matthew, in chapter 1, verse 23, we hear the words, "And they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus, as he ascends, he reminds the disciples and us, "Remember, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Those reminders are for the original hearers of the Gospel of Matthew, but they are just as much for us today. God is with us. The Christ child, Emmanuel, was born, grew up, and lived among humanity. We can hold on to that already, of the salvation brought on by grace through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And at the same time, the not yet also anticipates the kingdom of God coming in its fullness someday. Part of the beauty of God's story with creation is that it's not finished yet. There is more to the story of humanity. There is more to God's own story as well. And we are called to be a part of it. How amazing is that? Living in this already but not yet space means that we can hear and soak up the wonder of God's grace. However, with that gift, we're also given the responsibility of sharing it with others. It means living out the promises of our baptism in the world. It means inviting others to the table of Holy Communion that Christ prepares. Living in the already but not yet is not a private or personal endeavor. This is a communal experience. The church as a whole is invited into this transformation of the world that is still in process. We're called together to help in the midst of the not yet. There are places where the already is present. God's love and grace are known and shared. However, there are also not yet places in the world. There are places that groan for justice and equality. There are places where poverty leaves stomachs empty and mouths dry. People dying of senseless violence, places of greed and hatred. These places, living in the not yet of God's kingdom. They're both far away and close to home. These are the places that God calls the church, this community, to. We are invited into transformative ministry for the sake of God's kingdom. When we make a difference in these not yet places, that is what it looks like for us to stand in the gap, living in the already, but the not yet, to be waiting expectantly for Christ to come again. So when society weighs us down with the hustle and bustle of a shiny tinsel Christmas, and while the church season of Advent has us focused on the manger, we must not forget that God was at work then, but God is still at work in the world. And we are to be witnesses of God's kingdom to come for all of creation, witnessing to God's faithfulness, God's grace, and God's never-ending, unconditional love for all people, everywhere. Those living in the already, and those living in the not yet. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. It is early, Lord God, early in this season of Advent, and yet already we wait. Already we long to celebrate your presence. Already we hunger for you dwelling among us, for your love and peace and your grace. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, stir our hearts, loving Savior, that we might be a loving people, living together in compassion and care for one another. Fill us with joy at being your people. Give us patience where life rubs against life. Lead us always as your people. Lord, in your mercy, be with us now, gracious Savior. In the midst of our lives, torn and tattered, worn out and weary, bring your strength and help and hope. Bless those in illness and sorrow, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, fill us with your compassionate, comforting Holy Spirit now, O God. Fill our emptiness, ignite our faith, and inflame our hearts. As you came to us in love, may we now reach in your love to others. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. God of every good thing, we set before you the gifts we were already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it, and let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast prepared for all who are.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, praise to you for the birth of creation. Praise to you in the darkness and in the light. Praise to you for your promise to your people. Praise to you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Praise to you for Mary's openness to your will. Praise to you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal you have invited us to feast with you and one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's say eight.
I've got cousins out there.
Yeah. It's going to take time.
GBR.
That's it.
Exactly. Now, there are times when I will go to a creek and it helps you, and like one of them is bum, ba bum, no. Well, there are a couple places whenever I will go to a fast three, but that gets a little frantic, so it won't be very much. When I feel like you've got the sling up, I'll be doing it one. So it's one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. See, we're so accustomed to our brain seeing a half note and thinking slow, right? Or quarter note, kind of slow, but this piece is not that way. So you have to, and this piece could really have been written at 6/8. It probably should have been, but I'm not a happy vocal buzzer, so I don't get to make that decision. But think of it that way. We go back to the beginning again. It doesn't matter. You're getting your brain and that new way of thinking about one, two, three, one, two. Ready? Here we go. Beginning.
The chimes, is that part slow down?
No, it should not. It should not. Yeah, that's tough. That's actually tough. I want to congratulate the Mallard. That was an excellent 111.
Woo!
Yes,
Melody.
Yeah. Look where the Mallard came in. Yeah. Okay, so from the beginning again, please. Remember, you get two beats before you come in. They can subdivide you.
Okay.
And what are
we? Yeah.
Are you like
it? Yeah, this is